out of thy country and move on. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. We can't camp and stay and dwell in the past. We just can't do it. So good to see everyone here tonight. Praise God. I feel like I'm going to drop something with all this stuff. I got a tablet, a Bible, a notebook, and a bottle of water. Amen. I'm trying to act like a millennial tonight. Amen. And get it all up here. But God is good. That's what we're talking about tonight, is goodness. So God is good. And all the time. Stand with me tonight. Let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. Amen. Thank you, Sister Darnell. That was just to give me a break. Playing that piano is more athletic than you realize. Amen. And the breath to sing. And I was just thinking, I'll be 46 this year, August the 9th, just a few weeks away. My wife has a birthday this Sunday. Amen. All righty. She'll be something. But I'll be 46 in August. And I was just thinking, Brother Jerry, you know, when I was 26, 20 years ago, I was pastoring when this was in this facility, when it was Living Waters, and it just seemed like yesterday. Amen. And boy, what would I do today if I were 26 again? Oh, my goodness. But I tell you what, God is good. It just seems like the time flies. Amen. And so as you get older, those things that come with age that you know, just happens to come. So I appreciate Darnell giving me a breather tonight. Amen. So if you're glad to be here, say amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, read it out loud. If you're there, say amen. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I want to talk to you tonight about living the good life. Amen. Now, Father, tonight anoint your servant to preach the word. Thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, it is of the Spirit. And God, thank you, Lord, for the people here tonight. May this be a word in season, fresh manna from heaven. May I decrease and may you increase. And may the word of the Lord have free course tonight. And we'll give you all the praise. And everybody said amen. It's your turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty. That's very good of you to do that. You're looking pretty. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, people want the good life. Some people, the good life is feeling good. That means it's having a hot tub and a back rub. For other people, the good life, it's not feeling good, but looking good. I mean, everybody today wants to look good. And the cosmetic industry, we went to Belk at Crabtree for the first time in many years, because the Raleigh Belk has moved on the east side, hallelujah, at Triangle. But we went to Old Crabtree, and that whole floor is this cosmetics. And billions of dollars are spent on looking good, infomercials and losing weight, and all of that is good. There are many here today that look as good as you ever did. It just takes you longer to get that way, right? And some don't look as good as you used to. For other people, the good life is not feeling good or looking good, but it's having the goods. I mean, just accumulating. They call that the good life. If you have enough money and have enough power to do what you want to do, that's the good life. Somebody was driving a red Ferrari the other day. It had a bumper sticker on it. It said, the one who wins is the one that has the most toys at the end of life. And you know, they say the only difference between men and boys is the cost of their toys. And so to this guy with a big red Ferrari, to him, that was the good life. You know, is that really the good life? Well, there's nothing wrong with having, good things in life. Nothing wrong with having a Ferrari. I really don't think so. I don't know. I would question spending, you know, $100,000 on a car when there's people hungry in Africa. And when you can get if you roll a nice car, you can get one for half that price, you know, or less. And so where do we draw that line of of enjoying good things and being a good steward. The line between wealth and luxury, nobody really can judge that. And that's very individual. People have different ideas on that. But what I want to talk to you tonight really is the good life. What I'm talking to you tonight is not about a Ferrari or an Infiniti or a Lincoln. What I'm talking to you tonight is the good life. When you walk in the Spirit, you're not after the law. You're not after pursuit of this world. You are pursuing the God life. You're pursuing a Christian life. And what a life it is. I wouldn't trade this old life for the best life of any millionaire in California for anything in the world. Because really, I may not have so-called the good life here, but I've got the good life in here, and I've got the good life called eternal life to come. I wish somebody would say amen. I will go on. Why don't you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight for the good life? I said, I am blessed and highly favored of God. I am blessed going in and I am blessed coming out. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the country. Amen. I was blessed when I was 26 and I'm blessed now that I'm almost 46. And when I turn 106 and when I turn 1,006, you say, you're going to live that long? Yes, sir, because I've already got eternal life, so I have the good life. Somebody say amen tonight. So what we're talking about is the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit that flows from the Spirit, the fruit that comes from the Spirit, the fruit that is produced by the Spirit. So I want to give you three things. We've already covered love, joy, and peace. And really, the fruit of the Spirit has taken a shift. Love, joy, and peace, internal. But gentle, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness is something that you show external. And then meekness, temperance, and faithfulness is something that's internal. So get that. Internal. We're talking external. And we're also talking again about something internal again. And we'll cover those last three when we get to those, and you'll understand what we're talking about. But tonight we're talking, Wednesday night, the pastor talked about gentleness, being gentle. And that is something produced by the Holy Spirit. Tonight we're talking about a cousin of gentleness called goodness. Goodness. So I want to give you three things tonight. Why live the good life? Number two, what the good life is not. And number three, what the good life is. If you're ready for it, say amen. So why live the good life? Why live a life of goodness? Or why cultivate the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit called goodness? There's the inward reason. And this is what I call for your conscience sake. You want to do good or have the goodness of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit because of your own conscience sake, because of your own, for inward reasons, really. Because Acts chapter 23 in verse 1, Paul made a very important statement. He said, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Paul had a clean conscience. He, as much as he could, with the Holy Spirit's assistance, he lived the good life. And I tell you, the good life is immensely satisfying. When you go to bed at night and you ain't, I tell you, when you cause trouble and you're always trying to stir things, or when you're hiding sin, or when you're trying to put on shenanigans, I tell you, it's not easy to sleep at night. I mean, you're putting out this fire and creating a bigger fire. But I'll tell you what, to have a conscience that's clean, when you go to bed at night saying, Lord, I can't do it on my own, but to the best of my ability and to the best that you have given me through your Holy Spirit, I have lived in good conscience. I have not wronged anyone. I am a supporter of my church and my pastor, and I am a man of my word and my marriage, and my wife is my delight, and I'm not sleeping around, not running around, and I'm using my finances. I tell you, when you go to bed at night, that's a good thing. That's a good inward feeling. You know, I think a lot of sickness and disease and heart attacks and cancers is sometimes just because people worry so much because of the trouble they get into. I'm not saying that all the time, because I've seen some godly Christians come stricken by these demonic things. But Paul had an inward blessing of knowing his conscience was good before the Lord as much as lies within him. Now, we always need to pray, search me and know me, O God, to see if there's any wicked way in me. But that's part of having a good conscience. Amen. Did you know you could hurt somebody and not know you've hurt somebody? Have you been married longer than 30 minutes and hadn't figured that out? What's wrong, honey? Nothing. Something's wrong. Just trust me. Something's wrong. Well, what happened? Well, finally, you get to the root of it. Well, you did X, Y, and Z. Well, you didn't really. Supposedly, you should have known. Amen. And just what with the IRS, with your wife, ignorance is not an excuse, guys. Okay? So, when you, let's all men meet after church and we'll talk about it, okay? But I've got a good conscience to my family, to my church, to my Lord. Amen. That's an inward reason. And I tell you, living the good life or having goodness is not only something inwardly, sort of similar to what I was talking about a while ago, but it's outward blessings. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13. You want to jot this down. This is good. It says, wherefore, if meat makes my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You know, you're a good person when you give up your privileges and your rights in order to accommodate someone who is weaker in the faith. Now, there's a thing called compromise, and we're not talking about compromise. But every now and then, we see when you have goodness in your life, when you're good, others are blessed because of it. Can you say amen? I tell you, when people fall and when preachers fall, it doesn't just affect them. When we don't do good, or we get in the flesh and not in the spirit, or when we have a sinful proclivity that we don't put under the cross, it affects people. In fact, someone says when a giant oak falls in the woods, not only does that oak fall, but it pulls down all other kinds of saplings and trees with it. And so when a Christian falls, it affects people. When we sin, when we miss the mark, it affects our spouse, our children. But on the opposite, when we are walking in the fruit of goodness, it brings our family up. It brings our friends up. It lightens the load on your job. And you're talking about, you know, one thing you can't sometimes preach a gospel message like Pastor Jerry and I preach, but I tell you what, if you're good and have the fruit of goodness in your life, you're blessing somebody and people are watching and it's making a difference in the world that you live in. I wish you'd give the Lord a hand of praise to be a witness through goodness. Amen. Why live the good life inwardly, outwardly, and then upwardly? Because I'm going to tell you, one of these days, we're going to stand before the Lord of the universe. And we are going to give an account of our life. Now, if that doesn't scare you or make you tremble, then you might want to pray a little bit. Well, Brother Ricky, I'm saved. And I'm just going to stand before God. Listen, I will stand before God in this confidence that I have no confidence in the flesh. I will stand before God saying, Lord, my only righteousness is nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to talk about self-righteousness or self-goodness in a few minutes to contrast it. But please know that we will stand before the Lord. And we will get rewarded for the good things that we do. There is not a sacrifice that you make, not even a cup of cold water that you give, that one day God in the host of heaven with Jesus Christ and who knows the other witnesses will say, Jerry Nelson, you went to a prison every single week to visit a man who had no promise to give you anything in return. But every week or every other week or every month you drove your gas and you blessed that man. And Brother Jerry, God is going to bless you for that goodness. Can you say amen? When you help your neighbor, when you volunteer and are not paid, just out of the goodness of the Spirit in your life, when you sacrifice, when you know, I was pulling out my checkbook Sunday to write the tithes, and I'm thinking, I was writing the tithe here to Westmont, Darnell's tithe, and I was just thinking, you know, just the pulling out of this checkbook and writing this check underwrites all that we do here. I'm not talking about mine only, but yours and yours and yours. And yours. When you pull out that check, praise God, when you do good, you will be blessed and highly favored of God. Amen, somebody. So don't be weary. I'm going to get to this. Don't be weary in well-doing. Understand that you will stand before the Lord, and you will answer for the things you did not do. You will answer for the things you did do, and you will receive a reward. Now, when we stand before the Lord, let me correct this. Let me correctly make you understand that when we Christians stand before the Lord, we're going to be rewarded on our works, but it doesn't mean we're going to be going to hell or heaven. That's already settled. The old account was settled long ago. Amen. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to evaluate our life and our character. And don't you know that there's going to be times when we look back over our life, I wish I had done this more. I wish I had done this, or wish I had forgiven. Wish I had said this or that or the other. But please bear in mind that that's what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. It's for your inward conscience. It's for your outward service. And it's for your upward faith towards God, and knowing that one day He will bless you for all eternity. And that is one reason to live the good life. Can you say amen? Amen. There's a scripture that says Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil. And I love to read biographies of men who lives just did so much good to people. And I want to be a blessing to people. I love to be a blessing to people. I like to just be good to people. It's just in my nature. And that's not me, Ricky. That's the Lord through me, because the human nature is take, take, take. Amen. So let me move on, pivot a little bit. What the good life is not. What do you mean by that? Well, let me contrast two people with you tonight, so you can really understand the fruit of goodness. And so my next two points, the point number two is going to cover one of them. Point number three is going to cover the second one, which will actually be the closing. But why be good? I gave you the three reasons. But let me now pivot to this. What the good life is not. Or what do we not mean when we talk about human goodness? And I want to bring up to you a guy that we know in the Bible as the rich young ruler. And he's found in Mark chapter 10. And I just want you to go there. It's probably on the screen. If just give me a thumbs up, Brother Blue, if you got that. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read really fast, and then I'm going to go back and break this down, because I want you to see what the good life is not. Okay? If you're there, say amen. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and said, notice that word. What did he say? Okay, keep that in mind. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me? There is none but one, and that is... Verse 10, 19, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, now look at verse 20, master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Now go to verse 21, and Jesus beheld him and loved him and said unto him, one thing you lack. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. I wish verse 22 was different, but verse 22 said, and he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions, or a better way of saying it is, for possessions greatly had him. And here we see what the good life is not. The way I started my sermon was about the Ferrari and the looks. Well, this guy, the rich young ruler, as we know him, you would think have the good life. Man, he had riches, he had wealth, he had anything that money could buy. And not only did he have riches and wealth, he had a desire to also be religious, or he had a desire to make sure that everything was okay in his life. And so he went to Jesus. But look at verse 17. I just want to highlight, when you read the story, a lot of people have taken the part where Jesus said, sell all you have and give to the poor. And they focus on that, which is not the focus of that story at all. That was not a direct command for everyone in that strict sense of the term. It is a general command for all to forsake all, yes. But there's some things here that you might miss. So go back to verse 17. If you're there, say amen. When he was going forth in the city, there came one running and kneeled. So far, so good. And he said unto him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So, if you're not careful, you'll miss that. Hey, Jesus, I really don't care about what you want me to do. I want to know what I got to do. I want it on my terms. I'm a man of business. You just tell me what I do. Well, how many of you know salvation ain't on what I do and what you do? It's on what he did. So goodness is not I do. Now, I told you a while ago that you've got to do some things. And I'm going to close with telling you, hopefully tie it all together. But for a moment, it's not what you do. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so, yes, you yield to the Spirit, but you can't come with this, Lord, what shall I do? That's called self-righteousness. And by the way, let me just preach a little bit right here. And people come up, and this is so many times people come up, and particularly young people today. There's so many religions in the world. How do you know which one is right? I said, there's not a lot of religions in the world. What do you mean? You must have graduated from East Carolina. Trust me, I did graduate from East Carolina, and I know that there's only two religions in the world. One is you do, and the other religion is God has done. Okay, well, wait a minute. That's only two. Cain and Abel. Come on now. Work of the field or the blood of the lamb. It's from the beginning. It's only been two ways to get to God. It's either you get to God through your good works or God comes to you through his grace and his son, Jesus Christ. All other religions and some forms of Christian, so-called Christianity, are under that umbrella of I do. They're just like the rich young ruler. I want to. Now, they may sacrifice and they may even give some money. They may even hurt their bodies or they may do some extraordinary. They may even fly a plane into a building. But underneath it all is, God, I'm trying to get to you. That's a little form of pride and arrogance. Even though you may be killing your body, you're trying to go before God and say, hey, God, I slammed a plane into a building for you. You just need to let me in. That's the only two religions in the world. Come on. I do or God's done. My God, I'm about to run this aisle tonight. But we're on live stream and I'm restricted. Amen. And that's a good thing. Praise God. But listen to me. There's only two religions. Christianity, true Christianity is not I do. Christianity, it's done. Amen. Christianity, true Christianity is not you do good to get God. True religion is you get God to do good. And think about it. Well, what about Islam? Islam is you do good to get God. Sacrifice your son, blow up for Allah Akbar and all of this, and you'll have 72 virgins in heaven and all of this. What are you trying to do? You're trying to earn your way to God. It's nothing more than works-based religion. You could talk about Buddhism. Buddhism, you have to meditate. You have to pray. You could talk about Shintoism. You could talk about any religion. In fact, a priest wrote one time in order to earn his salvation that he said, I'm going to earn my salvation and I will never smell a flower, never drink when I am thirsty. Never drive away a fly. Never show disgust before a repugnant object. Never complain of anything that had to do with his personal comfort. He said, I will never sit down, never lean upon my elbows when he was kneeling. And that was his way to get to God. That was a priest. Monastery. A form of Christianity that you just do this and say a certain this and do that and everything's just okay. All that is a works. Now, there may be some in that particular church who have found grace, but that is works based. Am I getting everybody stirred up tonight? I hope so. Because Jesus looked at that young ruler and said, why do you call me good? He said, there's none good but the Father. Now, I always got confused on that scripture. I was reading that and reading that and reading that and reading it. I'm talking about up to a few years ago, like last 2 or 3 or 4 years. I'm pastoring the church, and I always read that scripture. Now, why did Jesus say, why do you call me good? There's none good but the Father. Jesus, obviously you're good, but why did you ask the rich young ruler, why call me good? There's none good but the Father. And then I began to realize what was going on there. What he was trying to do was say, hey, you called me good. Do you really realize how good I am? Do you really realize that if you call me good, you're really saying that I'm equal to my Father? And by the way, Jesus was equal with his Father. Amen. He was trying to say, hello, you're not just talking to a good person like a good rabbi down the that flowers the garden or whatever. You're talking to the absolute perfection of God Almighty, not one whit wrong. And you're coming to me thinking I'm just somebody down the street that's handing out favors. I am one with the Father, and there is none good but the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is none good but God the Father. We are all flawed, and therefore we need the fruit of goodness. And the thing is, get connected to God, and you will have the fruit of goodness. Can you say amen? It's the fruit of who? And look at verse 20. I just got to show you this, and then I'm going to close with this is the wrong kind of goodness. He answered and said unto him, now Jesus said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not this. Thou shalt not that. Thou shalt not. He used the Ten Commandments. And here's what he said. He answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth up. So he is obviously arrogant. Is there anyone among us that can say, I've kept every command of God? Listen, from my youth up? Are you kidding me? When I was 5 years old, before I even knew the ABCs, I was stealing from White Supermarket in Rocky Mountain. From my youth up? I'm telling you, I did things that was already bad. Before I even hardly knew what I was doing. My mama pulled the buggy on White Supermarket downtown, not downtown Rocky Mount, on Raleigh Road. Rocky Mount used to be White Supermarket. Mr. White owned the supermarket. And she pulled the buggy in, and you know, they had the candy right there. Well, I wanted the candy, and mama wouldn't let me have it. So when mama wasn't looking, you mean you've kept this from your, come on, nobody. That's called arrogance. He's looking at Jesus and saying, I've been perfect, Jesus. Yes, I have. Oh, yeah, I've been perfect. And he winked at him. Hey, it's me. Jesus said, well, if you've been perfect, and he didn't argue with him. He just said, oh, I'll tell you what, since you're so perfect, here's what I want you to do. Why don't you just go ahead and sell everything you have, every house, every animal, every shred of clothes, everything you've got, liquidated into one financial lump sum, give that whole sum away, and just follow me and trust me with the rest of your earthly life. Mm-hmm. So much for the goodness, right? You see, the rich young ruler couldn't trust Jesus with his earthly life. He certainly couldn't trust him for his eternal life. And by the way, we do not have to sell our house to be saved. But if selling our house keeps us from being saved, then sell it. Amen. We have to come with no strings attached. We have to come and say, Lord, I come withholding nothing because I deserve nothing. I have not been good. I have been a sinner. And only God is good. And Lord, I need you to save me. And guess what? He will save you and he will forgive you. And then he will turn you around. And you won't mind selling the house if that's what the Lord wants. Well, Lord, it's yours anyway. You won't mind giving some money to the church. And that's, Lord, that's yours anyway. You won't mind helping that person who wronged you because you know what? You wronged the Lord and he was so gracious to forgive you. Brother, that's the good life. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise for the good life. Amen. I said the good life. Well, hallelujah. Now I'm going to get to preaching because I want to tell you what the good life is. Now I've told you why and I've told you what it's not. It's not like the rich young ruler. My goodness, it's all of his goodness. So it's all of him. So let's talk about the fruit of the good life. James chapter 2 verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If you want to, this is where we can impact the world. This is where if I can't preach a sermon, I can do a deed that will itself impact the world. This is where we are not just having church. This is where we're doing church. Can I get a witness? Faith without works is what, church? It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So I don't care how much faith you say you have. I don't care how much time you've read your Bible. And I, every now and then I would pastor people over the years. And they would tell me, Brother Ricky, I read my Bible every single year. Oh, you do? Yes, I do. But I don't see any tithes in the collection plate. And I never see them witnessing. When I run them to a Walmart, I don't see them over there passing out a tract. When we need some help, I never see them volunteering. They just come to church, listen to a sermon, they go home. But they know their Bible. Let me tell you something. It's not reading the Bible. It's doing the Bible. Come on now. Faith without works. We've got to have goodness. Fruit of the Spirit is doing something. Amen. It's not just sitting there soaking it in and on my way to heaven. The fruit of the Spirit is action. Somebody say action. You know our pastor is a man of action. Praise God. There's no sitting around twiddling our thumbs. Let's move it out and let's do something for Jesus. Now let's talk about a man named Barnabas. Go to Acts chapter 11 verse 22. And I promise you I'll be done in the next 35 minutes. Amen. Some of you are crying, not laughing. The children are in a little early tonight, so give me just a few minutes. Y'all okay with that? Here is the best way to describe the fruit of the Spirit of goodness. The best way to describe it is to point to you to a, I talked to you about the rich young ruler. He was the what not to do. Now let's talk to you about a man by the name of Barnabas. That is the clearest picture of a man who had the fruit of goodness in his life. So look at Acts chapter 11. It says, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which is in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. Everybody say Barnabas. That he should go as far as Antioch. Who when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Look at verse 24. Everybody read verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and people were added to the Lord. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Not his human goodness, but his spiritual goodness. Now, I'm going to give you four ways that Barnabas displayed the fruit of goodness. First of all, he displayed it financially. Go to Acts. I got to go quick. Acts chapter. This is a whole sermon, Pastor, sermon series. I'd never seen this till this day. I never saw the four areas of Barnabas' life where you could see the fruit of goodness. That's what I love about studying. And, you know, as a preacher, man, I get to get good stuff. Amen. This is good. Woo. Praise God. If I'm shouting in my office, I know you're going to be shouting on the pew. He was good financially. Look at Acts 4 and 36. And Joseph, who was by the apostles, surnamed Barnabas, so he had another name, Joseph. which being interpreted, the son of consolation. That's another sermon. He was a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. And by the way, when you study Cyprus, Cyprus was like the Malibu of the Middle East. I mean, if you lived in Cyprus, it's like saying you lived in Malibu or lived in Maui of Hawaii or you lived in what's that area up there where Bill Clinton lives, Chappaqua. I mean, this is like if you lived in Cyprus, you were living in Chappaqua. You were living in Kennebunkport, Maine. That's where the Bushes stay. So just the fact that he was from Cyprus means he was a man of. And by the way, you had a rich young ruler. So riches is not a problem, is it, with Barnabas, is it? Come on now. And so he had land, look at verse 37. He had land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here is Barnabas who has gotten saved, on fire for God, and he is a giver, financially giving. And you know what? The Bible says he was a good man. That entails that he was a good man when it came to being financially given. Now, folks, you do not have to live in Malibu to be a giver of the kingdom of God. Your $25, if that's as good as you can do, and in your budget, I promise you, it will, in God's sight, do as much as the $250,000 of a Bill Gates. In fact, it'll be a whole lot less for Bill Gates, because that's a drop, nothing to him. But please understand that part of being good is releasing your finances to God. Tithes is a part of that. Can I tell you something? Can I just say, Brother Jerry, pray for me, because you may have talked to me about this. But over the years, I've pastored, and every now and then, there'd be a little controversy in the church, and people didn't like what direction the Lord was taking us. And so one of the ways that they could stop it was they would come to me and they would say, Pastor, I'm withholding my tithes until you straighten out and quit preaching like the Word of God says. So I said, just bow your head. And they bowed their head. I said, just repeat this prayer. Dear Lord. And they said, Dear Lord, I have decided to rob you. I've decided, what? That's when I was 26. You learn a lot better when you're 46. Amen. Martin Luther, who we're getting ready, Pastor Jonathan, I think we need to read a book on Reformation, and Brother Jerry as well. But this is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther said this. He said that there are three conversions necessary: the conversion of the heart, the mind, and the purse. Amen. So Barnabas was a giver. He was liberal in his giving. He was a good man. And so you may not can give money, but you can give other things, even a cup of cold water. Can you say amen? Number two, he was spiritually and ministry minded. Look at Acts chapter 13. Pastor, we've read this many a time. No, not this one, but the next one. I'll get it to you. But look at Acts chapter 13. And there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manan. And they had been brought up to Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as, here it is, Pastor, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work, which I've called them to do when they fast and pray. In other words, you want to know what goodness is? Goodness is being spiritually minded, praying and fasting, being open to do a work for the Lord. We're talking about the fruit of goodness, right? We're talking about ministry. We're talking about getting plugged into ministry. Listen, there are things that we can do right there. And I was pastoring a church one time, and there were several retirees who lived right around the church. I'm talking about just right around the corner from the church. And every Monday, when I got there, the trash can wasn't rolled out. And then I had a board, or we had a board meeting, and something was wrong. Well, the trash isn't being rolled out. Well, who rolls out the trash? Well, I guess the preacher rolls out the trash. So I said, well, guys, I don't mind rolling out trash. I'll be glad to roll out trash. No problem. I'll do it for Jesus. I said, but just curious, what are some other things you guys are doing? Come to find out, some of those retirees weren't doing any other thing in the church. They weren't cutting the lights on. They weren't cutting the heat on. They weren't cutting the grass. They weren't rolling out the trash. I said, guys, and these were retirees. We're not talking about people who work 9 to 5 and, you know, got kids and stuff. We're talking about people who live right, I'm talking right across the road from church, right across the road from church. I said, hey, guys, if I do what you can do, then I've robbed you. But if you will roll that trash, I promise you God is going to, because remember, it's giving a cup of coffee. Are y'all with me here? Now, I had to say it real carefully. Amen. Had to say it with a lot of sweetness and butter and honey and a lot of, but let me tell you, from that time on, we assigned one roll that trash this week, one roll that trash that week, one roll that trash that week, and they did it. And you know what? It was a ministry to the church. It wasn't preaching the gospel. But listen, it's not that the pastor wasn't above doing it. I'd be glad to do it. I think it's a privilege to clean the church for the glory of God and for sinners. But let me tell you what's even better. Not only with the responsibility that I have to be at hospitals and counsel suicides, and at times I have to study to hours of the night. Let me help you get a blessing by saying, can you roll the trash out? Amen. Somebody say goodness. Ministry. Be not weary in well-doing. Let me read Galatians to you. I got to hurry up fast. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 in the Message. Brother Blue, I don't know if you've able to pull the Message up or not, but it says this. It says, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop, Brother Johnson, if we don't give up or quit. Right now, every time we get the chance, let's work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Somebody say amen. Goodness, say amen. Barnabas was good in his ministry, good in his finances, and then thirdly, he was good in his vocal support. I got to hurry up. Look at Acts chapter 9, and when Saul was 9, verse 26, give me a thumbs up, brother, if you're ready. Acts 9, 20, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assuaged to join himself to disciples, but they were afraid of him. And they didn't believe he was a disciple. This is right when Saul got saved. Now, how many of you remember Saul was killing Christians? And what if somebody said, you know, before Osama bin Laden got killed, what if somebody would have come up and said, Brother Pastor Jerry, Osama bin Laden, he's coming to prayer meeting tonight. Now, how many of you would probably not show up? Come on. But let's just pretend that Osama bin Laden got saved. Well, that's the way it was with Saul. Well, guess what happened? Look at the next scripture. Man, this is going to preach. Verse 27. But Barnabas took him. We need some Barnabases in the church that will believe in people. We got to be so careful that we get a self-righteous attitude that sometimes that one in the church, they're okay, but they're not as mature and holy as I am. Oh my goodness, that's a problem. I have to struggle with that. Barnabas said, you know what? I don't care what life he has lived. I know God can change anybody. And so Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord and that had spoken to him and preached him. In other words, vocally. Barnabas vocally. Let me tell you, when I go to work at Best Buy, I have to work at this, but I have to vocalize and say, I hope you're having a, I'm talking about to the employees, and I'm not talking about the customers. We get paid to do that. But the employees come dragging in. I come dragging in with them. But I have to vocally say, hey, how are you? Wonderful job. Thank you. Appreciate the work that you're doing. We got to start. Quit zipping our lips. And the only time we unzip it is when it's a criticism. Oh, help me, Jesus. But we got to start saying some positive things. Pastor Jonathan, you're doing an awesome job with that youth. Amen. Brother Jermaine, when you dress up on Sundays, man, I'm proud of you. You're helping out. Brother Kyle, you are a... But we got to start encouraging... I have made a mistake. I've gone too far away. But we've got to say that would you just turn around and tell somebody, be encouraged. You're doing a great job. Brother, come on up here. You're doing an awesome job, Brother Wilson. Amen. If you'll come on up, I'll try to close. Barnabas financially, say amen. Was good spiritually, say amen. Our ministry. He was good vocally. And by the way, John Mark and Paul, later on, John Mark just didn't do what he was supposed to do. And the great apostle Paul said, I'm not taking John Mark with me. I had to put up with his mess a long time ago. Paul was just lay it out there. He was a type A plus personality. And Paul, and there's nothing wrong with that. Thank God for type A personalities. Amen. But whether you're type A, B, C, or D, we all need the fruit of the Spirit. Well, guess what Barnabas did? Barnabas said, John Mark, you come on with me. And so Barnabas vocally said, John Mark, you might have failed with Paul, but I'm going to give you another chance. And by the way, years later, John Mark took out his pen and he wrote what we now know today as the Gospel of Mark. Matthew, Luke, and John. Thank God for Barnabas who encouraged people. Will you encourage people? And listen, you have to learn. I got to move on. This is the last thing. You have to learn to encourage people when you're going through bad stuff yourself. And I've learned this, that when I'm going through some bad stuff and I encourage others, guess what it does? Comes back and encourages me. Don't you love God? Amen. Good, good Father. And then the fourth thing, look at Acts chapter 14 and verse 1. And it came to pass when they went to in the Iconium that they went together into the synagogue of the Jews, and they spoke, and a great multitude of the Jews and of the Greeks believed. So Barnabas, he was good financially. He was good for ministry. He was good vocally, and he was good evangelistically. Because let me tell you, and I want to say, Acts chapter 11, verse 24. Let's go back to where we started. Acts 11. So read it with me. For he was a and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. And what? Now, I want to say this, and I feel it's important to say this. Because we should do good in all areas of life. On the job, fire, rescue. Aren't you glad for our rescue workers? Some, Jessica and Tyler and some of these others in our church, Denise and others that give hours of CPR and classes, and police officers like Carolyn's son that we met the other night, Dalton. Thank God for people who do good. Say amen. Amen. But let me say this to you, that the greatest good you can do is not rescue a person when they're choking on a piece of steak. The greatest good you can do is get a person saved and on their way to heaven. So let's make sure that when we're putting out fires and when I go to Best Buy and I say good things, let's make sure that we take it to the next step. Just like I did the other day when I talked to a young man and said, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You're a good person. And none of us are good enough. And I just talked to him about the gospel, and he didn't accept it. But that's all right. The greatest good you can do is to tell somebody about the one who's the greatest good of all. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Go ahead and just play. I want you to read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 on the screen. And I don't want to... The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Say that. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Everybody read it. For by grace are you saved through faith. Stop right there. Anybody saved by faith through grace? Let me see your hand tonight. And that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Go ahead on. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Next one. Read it loud. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There it is. Unto which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. John Wesley said, And I want you to come and pray just a minute. John Wesley said this. It sums it all up. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. I want you to step out of your seat. I really believe that if we capture the spirit of the fruit of goodness, man, church is going to grow. Lives are going to change. Miracles are going to happen. Come on and join me in prayer. I want you to close in prayer. And you teachers, you're doing such a great job. Brother Joey, Brother Philip, I know he's not here tonight. Others, you girls, ministry leaders, Brenda and others, I don't want to leave anybody out. I know some are not able to be here tonight. Sister Vera and others are doing good. Say amen. Did you get motivated? And I hope you got motivated. I hope I motivated you tonight. Just a cup. Brother Elam gives me a cup of water every service. That's good. Let me read it again. Do all the good you can. Didn't say do impossibles and miracles. By the way, they will happen. But do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, and all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Now, Father, tonight, as we close this service, God, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, it's not our goodness, but your goodness. And we don't have self-righteousness. We realize that God, we cannot save ourselves and earn our salvation. But Father, you've given to us the gift of your grace and mercy. And because of your goodness, Lord, let your goodness flow through us. On our jobs, on our neighbors, on the Muslims that we may see in the shopping mall or in the convenience store. Help us to, by goodness, win those to Jesus Christ. Lord, to those who treat us wrong, family members at times that misunderstand us. God, help us to show good, Lord, to the weak and to the hurting. Help us to volunteer, to be more involved. Lord, help us not to just come to church, sit on the pew, and go home. Lord, help us to do good as much as lies within us. And let the fruit of the Spirit of goodness flow in our lives. Do you want that to happen in your life tonight? Amen. One of the best things you can do is pray for somebody. So I want you to find somebody and pray for them. I want you to find somebody and say, what can I help you pray for tonight? What is burdening you tonight? Come on, just turn around and ask somebody. If you can, if you don't mind, just over it. Find somebody. Amen.